Local Energy Rules, a podcast about people putting together great community renewable energy projects and examining how energy policies help or hurt the development of clean local power. My name is Wade Underwood. This week, John Farrell and I catch up with former mayor of Boulder, Colorado, Susan Osborne. Thanks to Susan's leadership and the efforts of Boulder citizens, the city broke free from its franchise agreement with Xcel Energy in 2010. We ask Susan to recount the campaign with Xcel and talk about Boulder's vision to produce clean local power. Here's John and Susan now.
Well, thanks again for joining us. I've written a lot about Boulder on my blog and about the really interesting experience that you went through in particular during your time as mayor, but the city in general. For folks who aren't familiar with what's been going on in Boulder, you've had a long-term commitment in that city to tackling the challenges of climate change. And maybe you could sort of tell us, where you were at as a city back when you came into office as mayor. I believe it was in 2007, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. That's right, John. Well, we, I think as a city for at least a decade, if not longer, have been looking for opportunities to really reduce our carbon footprint and do our little part to affect climate change. And, you know, while we know that there's absolutely nothing that we could do in Boulder that will in a significant way affect global climate change, we do know that we have an opportunity to be to model some things and to try some things and to be on the forefront of cities that are doing their part in reducing carbon. So we had already adopted a climate action plan. We had a number of city programs, both in city buildings and in supporting efforts that businesses and individuals might take to reduce energy use in their homes and businesses. We had adopted the Kyoto Protocol and began doing the metrics as good as we could do to track our reduction in carbon. Our electricity provider is Xcel Energy, as I think it is in Minneapolis as well. We were looking at a renewal of our franchise agreement, something that only comes along every 20 years, and had begun a study looking at what our options might be to renewing the franchise. A year before I was elected to council, but actually concluding shortly after I got on council, was an opportunity to be Xcel Smart Grid City. And the condition that Xcel gave to the city was that we drop looking at options to leave Xcel and instead to become partners with them in a smart grid experiment right here in town. And we were promised a lot of things, and I think both Xcel and the city appreciate that we were things were probably overpromised to us. But we agreed and we dropped for the work on municipalization, as we call it, looking to municipalize our energy supply in favor of becoming Smart Grid City. So about 2007, right at the time I was on council, the council agreed to put on the back burner efforts at municipalization and work with Xcel on Smart Grid City.
Now, maybe you could just take a minute to explain, for those who don't know, a franchise agreement is usually kind of a long-term bilateral contract between a city and its utility. In Minneapolis, at least, it governs the use of city right-of-way, usually in exchange for a fee, and I'd imagine it's similar.
It's the same here, John.
Very good. And what would be useful for folks is to understand, why was the city looking at municipalization as an option before this smart grid experiment with Xcel? And I guess, why did the city need to pick that up again? Without getting into too much detail, I think you could probably tell us how that experiment went.
Well, let me just back up and say, for every 20 years, going back to, I believe, 1970, 1990, and then 2010, we had franchise agree. We had these discussions internally to the city and also externally in the city about whether or not it was time to look at leaving Excel, or at least looking at what options did we have for leaving Excel. And with each 20-year period, there were different issues that drove the discussion. In 2010, it certainly was climate change and the fact that, at least in Colorado, Excel's electricity supply is predominantly coal. And over the strong objections of our most active citizens, Excel went ahead and commissioned a brand new large coal-burning plant in southern Colorado just a couple of years ago. In fact, it just went online, I think, in 2007. And so there was a feeling that this was a company that didn't share our values and was heading in a different direction. In earlier years, there was the thought that we could perhaps, by getting out of an investor-owned utility, run a more efficient and run a more efficient operation and have lower costs for our electrical energy. So there's a whole history here of using our 20-year franchise agreement as an opportunity to look at what our agreement is with Excel and whether or not we could do better ourselves. This, in 2008, 2009, 2010, the city, both the political figures and city council, as well as a majority of our population, came to a decision that it was the time to really get serious about exploring municipalization. And so that's kind of how we got to where we got. But it is a 20-year opportunity to look at what are your options.
And you know, getting back to the smart grid thing, Excel essentially tried to say, let's get you guys to put that aside for a minute and let's try the smart grid thing, kind of hoping maybe that it would get you to forget about it this time around.
Well, exactly. And I think the promises that were made were pretty enticing, and if those of us that follow innovations in electric distribution understand that the whole promise of smart grid is pretty enticing, and we were really excited to be kind of a learning lab for this large utility. But it didn't work out very well, honestly, and I don't think either Excel or certainly not the city would look at this experiment as a success. As Excel ran into roadblocks, and we're not even sure what they were exactly, because communication really broke down and got to be so difficult with them as we struggled to understand what was happening with Smart Grid. We weren't getting answers back from them. And I think as the months went on and our citizens were expecting more and we were getting not much information, I think it really fired the whole serious look at municipalization. And at some point, I think we sort of just gave up on the smart grid and realized that it wasn't going to be a great benefit for either businesses or homeowners, residences in Boulder. From a consumer point of view, there really is just about no benefit from smart grid. So what that did was drive us again to look seriously at municipalization, and we did that and had a couple of citizen votes. And as of 2011, the citizens voted to proceed to look seriously at separating from Excel.
Now, I have to take issue with the fact that you've sort of glossed over what, in my mind, is one of the most exciting parts of the story, which was, you know, you sort of, with the stink of the smart grid experiment still fresh in the air in 2011, there was a big mobilization in Boulder to get this municipalization option on the ballot, and a fairly big campaign around this whole issue. You know, you're outspent by Excel 10 to 1. They dropped $1 million trying to take this option off the table.
Right.
And, you know, there were also, you know, you mentioned communication. You know, there was efforts by Excel to try to give the city an alternative to municipalization, but then they were only willing to dangle that out if the status quo was on the table. But finally, it kind of all wrapped up in this this vote in November 2011, a very narrow victory.
But on the other hand, we were so outspent, and the campaign itself was so hard fought on both sides, on Excel's part and on our part. But anyway, it was a very exciting year, and a lot going on, including some fairly wild internet ads. And every time we turned around, there was when cost is no object, we really felt like it was a David and Goliath campaign.
I do have to put in a plug for folks who are listening, that Googling and finding Excel's ads from that campaign is a 5 minutes well spent and quite entertaining.
Yeah. And in some cases, the ads really backfired because they were so ridiculous that it got people pretty angry with Excel. But in the end, what we put on the ballot was some very specific language defining narrowly what the conditions would have to be in order for us to proceed to municipalization. And they were things like the rates at the time that we would acquire the distribution system in the city couldn't exceed Excel's rates at the time. There were conditions about the revenue, in addition to paying the debt, that there needed to be an amount, I think 25% above the debt payment that would be available for improvements to the system. We needed a plan to show how we could have a more green energy supply. And that was actually part of the ballot issue. So it was a very complicated ballot. And I give great credit to our citizens for sticking with us on this and understanding what we were trying to do. But in the end, the idea was to make sure and to give citizens the assurity that we weren't going to go off the deep end and do something foolish and buy a distribution system that we couldn't afford to maintain at the same level of reliability that we get from Excel or better.
Now, speaking of the deep end, the city has been deeply investigating whether or not it could meet those requirements. And if I'm not mistaken, it was last Friday that they actually published a memo or a report saying some rather positive things about what the city could accomplish by becoming a municipal utility.
John, did you take a peek?
I admit that I did.
Yeah. So tonight there is a study session. We imagined that there were, as we proceeded to study whether or not we could municipalize and meet the charter requirements, the now charter requirements, that there would be some off-ramps. And we're looking at the first opportunity for council to make a go, no-go decision in April. And the memo that was released on Friday for the study session tonight is does a lot of modeling of different possible options for a utility of the future. And it includes, there's a baseline, but it also includes the possibility of working with Excel. We've included in the memo, I think, is a fairly obvious challenge to Excel. We've asked them to give us some proposals of how we might work with them in a different sort of way in the future. And we haven't gotten anything back from them, and we're hoping we will.
I have to quote from the Boulder Daily Camera story that I found. They highlighted five key points from the report, and I think they're worth mentioning in the context of where Boulder's trying to go. That one, it could offer lower rates over a 20-year time frame. A municipal utility could maintain or exceed current levels of reliability, reduce greenhouse gas emissions by more than 50% from current levels and exceed the Kyoto goals within the first year, get 54% or more of its power from renewable resources, and essentially create a model public utility that it would allow for innovation in everything from energy efficiency to customer service.
I think that's positive.
That's a pretty remarkable outcome from that report, frankly. And I think it's, you know, you mentioned not getting a response from Xcel about reaching out to them. And I remember thinking, my first thought there was how disappointing, because there's a similar effort to what happened in Boulder going on in Minneapolis, a campaign called Minneapolis Energy Options. And I think folks here are looking for solutions, you know, up to and including municipalization. But it would really be interesting to see if Xcel could come to the table, not only in Boulder, but in Minneapolis, and instead of making this some sort of confrontation again, an opportunity to create a model public utility that doesn't involve kicking out the incumbent.
You know, and I think there are a lot of us that are really, really anxious to see if this is a possibility. In many respects, I mean, what one buys in a municipalization effort is the distribution system, the local distribution system. We still assume that we would be buying power, probably buying some power, if not all power, from Xcel. And, you know, it's a cost that you would love to not have to make if you could achieve your goals in another way. And I think that's where a lot of our thoughts are. But we can't. I mean, we need Xcel to tell us what they would do. We can't, you know, anticipate what they might come up with. But it's a very exciting report. And a lot of the citizens, we have a couple of different citizen organizations. From their perspective, the city has used very conservative assumptions. And still the result seems positive. I mean, we know we spend $100 million a year or so in our relatively small town, small compared to Minneapolis for sure. And so we spend about $100 million. We know somewhere around $15 million to possibly up to $20 million are profits. And I think it's that piece of the revenue that municipal control, no longer an investor-owned utility, we would be free to invest in the city and in the district in cleaner energy and move forward into the future that way.
And Susan, what would you say to other cities that are looking to move forward on climate change?
We didn't start out on this effort wanting to blaze a trail. But to the extent that we can blaze a trail, at this point, you know, we're doing that, and hopefully it'll make it easier for other cities to find a path to look at whether or not municipalization is an option, and to begin to open up this discussion about, you know, can the current electric investor-owned utilities change their business model enough so that cities don't have to look at municipalization. I mean, I think we right now are feeling like we're blazing a path, and I think, you know, it takes courage, and it takes citizens who are both have information and are kind of up to the challenge of trying to figure this all out along with the city government. But it's been amazing so far, and I think it's been an educational experience for our citizens, and has really hardened people's determination to become a place where we really are pushing what can be a cleaner energy system in the future.
So Susan, tell us, that, you know, are you still involved in this effort? Obviously you're up to speed, at least as much as I am, on what's happening in Boulder, despite not maybe spending your time in nerd land like I do, reading about everything local power. But how are you staying involved?
Yeah, well, I am involved with Clean Energy Action, which is a citizen group that is doing a lot of the educating of citizens. They did a lot of work along with the city government prior to the election, and it goes on and has a lot of meetings every month. I typically read everything and go to meetings and talk to people, and am still very much an advocate for our municipalization effort.
Now, is there any chance you may not be aware, but the Minneapolis City Council is up for, the entire council is up for election this fall. Is there any chance you'd consider relocating to Minnesota and bringing your vast experience of this issue to the campaign here?
I don't think so, although I have to say it's snowing here and cold, and it probably is nicer in Minneapolis today weather-wise than here.
Not something
not.
You can say all that often, though, frankly.
Anyway, well, so it is when does Minneapolis's franchise come up for vote?
In Minneapolis, we're actually, the campaign here is looking at both the gas and electric utility franchises. The utility, Xcel's franchise, they are the same electric utility here, is up in 2014 at the end of the year. And the CenterPoint Energy Gas franchise is up at the end of 2015. So we're ahead of the curve, just as we need to be for this kind of conversation, which is great. And
yeah, you are, although it is something that takes a long time. And franchise agreements anyway, I mean, it's the once in every 20-year opportunity to make whatever changes local government wants to make in their agreement with the utilities. So it's a big deal and deserves to be taken seriously, and I'm sure Minneapolis is doing that.
We are, and we're doing our best with it. Well, Susan, thank you so much for being with us today. We really appreciate it. And
you're welcome, John.
Keep up the great work in Boulder. We're always going to be here in admiration of what's been done. And what's going to continue.
Come and visit sometime.
I certainly will.
Okay, bye, John.
Bye-bye.
That was John Farrell, Wade Underwood, and Susan Osborne. Susan was the mayor of Boulder, Colorado, and currently works with Clean Energy Action to advocate for municipalization in Boulder. For questions or comments, please email jfarrell@ilsr.org with Local Energy Rules Podcast in the subject. John's Twitter handle is John F. Farrell. This podcast was published on March 21st, 2013. Thanks for tuning in.